As we return to our seats and we enter into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word, I invite you to open your Bibles to journey with us through the Word of God today. And if you want to know where we're going, on the Going Deeper page, there's a list of various texts that we're going to be going into, the order we're going to be going to them in. And I invite you to participate, be a part of this. Look up the passages in your Bible, scroll to them on your phones, but join in this time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. We must be participants and not simple spectators. However, I don't know how I could ever preach a sermon that was better than the one we just heard, that our worship team provided for us to go before the Lord and celebrate Him with. But I do know through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will move in this time. He will move in our hearts and minds as we seek to bring His face in view, as we continue to discover the various spiritual disciplines, practices, and holy habits of the faith that God has provided us as gifts to help cultivate a life of faith inside of us, that if we would learn to walk in these ways, if we would learn to do as Jesus did, to live the way Jesus lived, we would just be growing closer and closer to Him. That the disciplines put us in that place where God can actually bring us towards Him. And as I've said multiple times during this journey, you're going to get out of this what you put into it. You're going to get out of your life of faith what you actually plant into it. As Galatians 6:7 says, as we talked about last week, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. This is the reality of our life of faith. We get out of our walks with Jesus what we put into them. And the disciplines are a way that we could invest into that heavenly treasure, that we get to invest in that walk with Him, and that we get to invest in that life to come, living with Jesus as Jesus lived, growing in a deeper relationship with Him, allowing Him to transform our lives, molding us more and more into His image, the image He created us to be as His children. This is what the spiritual disciplines, the practice and holy habits of our faith do. They put us in the position to where God does just this work in our lives. Bring us to a very important question before we get into what we're going to be talking about today. What have you sowed into your lives these past several months of this journey we've been on, discovering the various disciplines, practice, and holy habits of the faith? Have you attempted to deepen your prayer life, to become that prayer warrior as we were praying for Felicia just earlier? Have you taken on that practice of contemplation, emptying yourself to fill yourself with the presence of God? Understanding that all the disciplines are wrapped up in that. They're all meant to fill our lives with the things of God, so that like David in the 23rd Psalm that we read at the beginning at our call to worship, we too would say, our cup overflows. Because God fills us so much, we overflow and we pour out onto those around us. And when people see us, they know there's something different about us. That we're just not a normal person, but we are a child of God, empowered by His Spirit to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. Turning our lives away from the things of this world towards the beauty and heart of our Lord Jesus. This is precisely what the disciplines are for, and this is what we've been talking about. And today, we're going to continue talking about spiritual disciplines of abstainment. In particular, we're going to be talking about something other than fasting.
We spent the past couple of weeks talking about fasting. We've discussed how we, or what it is, why we should do it, and how we can do it. This week, we need to talk about other disciplines of abstainment. Disciplines that are just as critical and as important as fasting brings our bodies in check. Fasting allows us to remind our bodies who it is that is Lord and who it is that provides nourishment for our lives. But then there are disciplines we definitely like to shy away from in our culture in this day and age. Not only is fasting hard because of all those temples out there with golden arches, I mean, it's so difficult in our day and age. These two disciplines, other disciplines of abstainment that God has given us to grow closer to Him, just like fasting does, are very difficult in our noisy and busy world. And they are the disciplines of silence and solitude, which allows us to take our focus off worldly things and matters and to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In this, we find peace, we find hope, we find comfort in the direst of circumstances. We rest in knowing what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:31, and then further in 38-39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He says later, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's not only with us, but He is for us, and nothing in all the earth will ever change this as we continue to seek after Him. As promised to us by the Lord and the prophet Jeremiah, which we've read multiple times these past several months, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, allowing us to find renewal, life, and refreshment in Him. Despite what's going on around us, despite what's happening in the chaos of life, the busyness and noisiness of life, with all of its troubles and trials that everyone faces in this world, Paul reminds us to not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, so we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away. Have you felt that? Your outward self wasting away? I turned 39 last week and I realized there's no return policies. But yeah, things seem to slow down as we get older, and our outward self wastes away. However, Paul doesn't stop there. We don't lose heart in this because our inward self is being renewed day by day. Day by day, he says. This is the work of God in our lives, each and every day. He's renewing us. He's restoring us. He's empowering us, and he's moving in us to bring us life and life everlasting. But not just life everlasting, life abundantly in Him. Not just in some distant future on those eternal shores, but right here, right now. Life lived to the fullest as it was intended to be lived in Him. Is that what we want? Is that what you want? Have you ever felt that deep need inside of you for renewal, for restoration, for refreshment? Remind yourselves, remind your soul that is exactly why God is with you. That's exactly the work that God is doing inside of you. Though this outward shell seems to waste away, inwardly we are being renewed more and more. Life and its journey will continue to get harder and harder as we go on. And we feel that weight upon our back. Things just pile on, struggle after struggle, pain after pain, addiction, whatever it may be. The yoke of this world just gets heavier and heavier. And we long for what Jesus spoke and promised in Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me,
for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Have you just ever fell to your knees and prayed for that? Lord, show me how to take your yoke. I don't know how, but I know what I'm carrying right now. I can't bear it alone. I need you, Lord. I need you. And if you ever had, you were in great company. You're in great company, and you're in a great place, because we're going to learn about two ways today that Jesus has shown us to take off the yoke of this world and to put on his yoke, which is easy, and a burden that is life. We're going to learn about two of three ways. We're going to be learning that third way more next week. But today, we're going to be talking about silence and solitude. Once again, fasting, like fasting, but not fasting. There are two separate things altogether. Fasting deals with food, and fasting is what we do to bring our bodies in check. Silence and solitude is a way that we bring our mind and our heart in check. It's a way that we focus our lives on God and who God is and God alone. It's important that we would do this, even in a day and age where it's too noisy, it's just too crowded. There is space, though. There is space if we would seek it, to be still and know that he was God. These are means to grow closer to Christ, and they're very similar to one another and very countercultural, more countercultural than ever in the fast-paced world we live in. Once again, a world full of busyness, people, and noise. I think about that age-old philosophical question. If a tree fell in the woods and no one was there to hear it, would it make a sound? I say we have to restructure that statement, that question, in our digital age, and say, would anybody hear the sound anyways? There's already too much sound. So does it make a sound? Silence and solitude can often feel counterintuitive. Not only do we live in a world of noise and crowds, all too often we do not know how to live without the noise. We don't know how to live without the crowd. We find silence and solitude to be outright unnerving. If you do not believe me, ask yourself how you feel whenever you lose cellular service. Like when you lose it for a day, you're not working, you can't call anybody. No one has landlines anymore. How do you feel when you lose access to the internet? Or like a phenomenon that I have observed through my many years of working with young people, how when a young woman goes to the restroom, she takes four of her friends with her. Maybe only one of them has to go to the restroom. I don't understand this. Maybe you can explain it to me sometime. So we don't want to be alone. We don't want to be by ourselves. And in this day and age, we have an actual medical, psychological diagnosis known as FOMO, fear of missing out. It used to just be a catchphrase, a little slang word, but now it's actually something that you can be told you have by a psychologist, that you have the fear of missing out. It's an actual condition that we have today in our world. After all, we're social beings. We want to be around other people. God created us to be social. He made us to be in relationship. That's how he wired us. But all too often, with all the noise and crowds around us, we forget about the one relationship that matters more than any other relationship, our relationship with him. Because he made us to be social, not just for one another, but to be with him, to walk in a right relationship with him. We often forget that Christ is to be that number one. And that he's always with us. As we read earlier with Romans, he's always with us. He's for us, and he's with us. Even when no one else is around in the world, and silence falls upon us, and all we can hear is the wind rustling leaves in the trees, Jesus is with us. And if we listen closely and keep our hearts focused on the one who is always with us,
will find him.
And he, in these places, will provide rest for our souls. We cannot, despite the typical aversion to such things, ever overlook the profound importance and gift that God gives us to be with him in silence and to be with him in solitude, just us and God, just you and God, no one else. And how blessed it is to be able to step back and be renewed by the acknowledgement and realization of the presence of God with you. It is in moments like this where we can experience renewal and refreshment in Jesus in the midst of the chaos and trouble we face in this world, knowing that our God is a God who takes the chaos of our life and brings it back into order. He takes the broken pieces of our life and he puts us back together in an even better way than we ever were before. And this is the work of God in you day by day, as we read from 2 Corinthians 4:16. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The Apostle Paul, in this portion of his letter to the Corinth church, shows us that not only is Christ in the process of renewing our lives, but this inner renewal, once again, is a daily process. And when we lean into this, when we lean into this process of renewal, we will find that it enhances our moments of reflection upon him. The more we can learn to practice the discipline, the better we get at it, the more we'll desire it. As we take those quiet moments of reflection, contemplation that can be found in the silence and in the solitude with God alone, we remember where our true fulfillment comes from. Just like fasting reminds us that our bodies are not sustained by food, they're sustained by God and God alone. Silence and solitude reminds us of what it is that God does for our very soul. They remind and realign our hearts and minds upon him to bring his face in view and to keep it into view, to set aside the world and all of its noise and to keep him in his presence close by, giving a space to actually have a holy moment with just you and God. Do you desire a moment in your life with God like that? Just to be with him. And here's the good news. It doesn't have to be a moment. It could be an everyday practice because he is with you. And if we take time to acknowledge that, if we take time to seek after that, you will find him, as we read earlier from the prophet Jeremiah. If you desire this, silence and solitude is for you, as it is a means by which we drown out the world around us and focus solely on God. And in this, it's something that Jesus did. Jesus did this often, to go and be with the Father and only the Father. We find time after time again in the Gospels, like Luke 5:16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would go off by himself to be alone with his Father. Or one of my favorite moments from Mark 1:35 through 37. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." I kind of like this because they're like, "Where have you been?" You know, because he's been doing miracles, he's been teaching, he's been rocking everyone's world around them. And they're like, "Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Why would he just go off?" If Jesus needed it, how much more would we need it? If Jesus did it, how much more should we follow as his disciples, his apprentice, doing the things that he did, because we know that life is found in these. Silence and solitude was a very big part of Jesus' rhythm of life. And there are many other moments where we see Jesus taking these retreats. This is part of how he chose to live and showed us how we can truly live in communion with him. We shouldn't ask, what would Jesus do? The real question we should be asking is, what did Jesus do and how do we do it too? Moments of retreat provide a space where silence and solitude are possible, like those Jesus often sought and went to help recalibrate our hearts and minds and focus on what truly matters in life. They help us seek a deeper and more meaningful connection with God. When you take time for such things and the subject and reason is Christ, you're going to grow closer to Him. Don't just go to the silence and solitude for no reason. That's a bad idea. Don't go unprepared. Don't go thinking, oh, I'll just sit here and I'll think for a little bit. Man, I think the Colts are playing right now. I better get up. That's not what silence and solitude is for. It's not to think over your to-do list. It is to just be alone in the presence of God, you and God only, so that you can practice that wonderful thing that's proclaimed by the psalmist in 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There is something profound when we actually do this that happens. When we can just truly simply be still and know that He is God. He is exalted through it. Because as we grow in our relationship with Him, as we grow in our journey and walk with Him, and as we begin to walk what it is that we proclaim, the world around us is changed. He is exalted all the more in us and through us by how we choose to live. When we lay aside the worries and cares and just rest in Him, set our anxious minds on the one who can bring, once again, all the chaos of our life back into order. As you open yourself to receive His guidance and wisdom, fostering a sense of peace that nothing else in this whole world could ever give. As we remove all the distractions and noise from our lives, we could truly reflect on our journeys with Christ and the ways that God has been at work in them in the stillness. These practices provide us with the way to open up ourselves to God and to be moved even more by Him, to remind us of His sovereign power, remind us that our worth is not measured by what others think. They're not measured by our accomplishments and rewards in this world, but they're measured by His love for us. That we can experience fully when we seek to spend time and stand in awe of Him, the beauty of what it means to be His child. And it's when we spend quality time and not a quantity of time. That's the other thing we need to understand about silence and solitude. It's about quality time and not quantity of time. I have learned over the years of being married that those are two separate ways of spending time. You know, I felt very early on in our marriage that everything was great. We always spent every waking moment with one another. You know, we would always have friends over in our campus apartment. We would always have game nights. We would always be doing stuff together with other people. And it was great. We spent time together. But it wasn't very quality time together. It may have been quality time for our friend group, but it wasn't quality time between myself and my beautiful wife. And our relationship struggled because of that. Because we were spending a quantity of time together, but we weren't spending any quality time. Where we spent time, intimate time, getting to know one another more and more. And I'm finding the more and more I seek to just know my wife more, I find out more about her. I learn things I never knew about her. And it's a beautiful and wonderful thing to be able to fall in love with your spouse over and over again. And don't you want to be able to fall in love with God over and over again? There's so much about God that we haven't even scratched the surface. We don't even know how big the iceberg is below because we can't even see the vast iceberg that's above. There's so much more that we can learn about Him, to grow in understanding of Him. The best way it's ever been illustrated to me is He is the ocean and we are but a Dixie cup. It takes a lot of effort. God desires to have quality time with us, not a quantity of time.
He desires for us to intentionally seek after him and to spend time with him, to make room in the noisy, busy lives that we live to embrace silence and solitude. That we would make space for God to bring renewal and restoration in our lives, just as Paul says he seeks to do daily in our inward being. It is in these moments of retreat from all distraction, moments of quiet, even short moments of 5 minutes, 1 minute, that we can be rejuvenated by God, enabling us to face life's challenges with grace and strength, embracing the fact that even in the worst of situations, as Paul says in Romans 8:37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that's where he goes into that. There is nothing, nothing like this, nothing like that, nothing, nor power, nor anything that will ever separate us from God. And he is for us. He said that earlier. He's not against us. Thanks be to God for that. There is just power in the midst of crisis to literally just take a step back. I mean, if you need to actually take one back, do it to remind yourself, I need to stop right now, so I'm going to take a step back. I need to watch how far back I go. I'm going to trip on a stair here. But we need to consciously remind ourselves, take a step back. Take a deep breath. Remember, God is with you. God, I know you're with me. And I know you're in this situation with me. Help me to trust in you. When we open our hearts to God to do something miraculous, what's amazing is we find that he does things miraculously around us. I think of that quote we've read often while we were talking about prayer, that when I pray, coincidences happen. But when I don't pray, I find that the coincidences don't happen because they're not coincidences at all. And that's the same thing with this. When we take a second to refocus our heart and mind on Christ, whenever we're focused on all the chaos, that song that the worship team sang just before we went into our time of fellowship is about the moment that Peter walks on water. Does anybody remember what caused Peter to sink? Kaylee? Sorry, Kylie. He didn't keep his eyes on the Lord. He saw the waves. He got worried about the storm, and he began to sink. And you know what the beautiful thing about that moment with Jesus is? The moment he said, Lord, save me, the gospel writer says immediately, without hesitation, immediately Jesus reached in and grabbed him. Immediately. And so even when we lose sight of him, we can take a step back. Lord, save me. Lord, help me see you right now. Help me understand more right now. Help me know your presence, to feel your presence. And when we do that, when we come to him as a child, to his father, he reaches and grabs us immediately and says, it's okay. And we experience the transforming power and strength as we live out what Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart. And not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. Of course, I changed that a little bit to make it plural, but it's a beautiful verse. Because he does this for each and every one of us. This isn't just a promise for one person. It's a promise for all of God's people. There is so much beauty and being able to be in the presence of God with nothing else to distract us when it's just you and God. The more we do this, the more we will live like Jesus. And as we live more like Jesus, Jesus continues to guide and direct us, to grow us, and to take us deeper beyond the superficiality of this world. If this is something you desire to have in your life, I ask you to pray a prayer with me. To pray a prayer with me that's going to be up on the screen. And we're going to just say this prayer right now. My God, I seek your peace in the midst of my busy life. Help me to embrace moments of silence and solitude, allowing me to draw closer to you. May I find renewal in these times of retreat.
And may your presence fill my heart with strength and hope. Teach me to be still and to recognize your voice. Show me what it means to be still and know you are God. And I am not. And thanks be to God for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If this is something you genuinely want in your life and for your life, if you go before God with a true spirit and a contrite heart, worshiping Him and praying to Him in spirit and in truth, it's important to know that He will begin this work in you. But how do we do it? With fasting, we talked about not only what and why, we also talked about how, and we need to talk about how right now. It is necessary that we talk about how. And if I sent you forth with just a desire to have this without any idea of how, I have failed you as your pastor. And so I want to offer some helpful suggestions, much like we did with fasting. Because the hope here, the goal here in our journey through the spiritual disciplines is we would learn how to incorporate them in our rhythm of life. We would learn how to actually walk in them, to do the things that Jesus did. And this is something Jesus did. The first thing that we learn in terms of cultivating is just like fasting. You know, Jesus teaches us how all the time, but just like fasting and how it can be very difficult starting out, we should start small. We start small. Set aside 10 to 15 minutes of your day, every day. Maybe if 10 to 15 minutes is too much, do 5. You know that 10 to 15 minutes a day is only 1% of the day? Can we just give 1% of our day over to God? To be in silence and solitude, to be just alone with Him, allowing Him to speak into our hearts. And as we do this, when we find it difficult and we fall short, because sometimes we're going to fall short. Our mind is going to be so distracted, bouncing here and there and everywhere. I mean, I'm like the dog on Up. Squirrel! You know, I just, my mind's everywhere. And when you fall short, don't beat yourself up. Understand how completely countercultural in how we are wired. This is completely countercultural to how we are wired to live in society. It is the opposite of the way the world works. Do not be discouraged by the difficulty and failed attempts. Keep trying, keep on keeping on, because the more you do it, the more you will become part of it. It'll become part of you. It'll become part of your nature. The more you will see, the more you will see its benefits. However, even before you can begin, though, even before you can start small, you have to find a place. Which is the next piece of advice I give you, is to find a place. To find a place to be with just you and God. It could be any place. It could be a rocking chair in your front room. It could be the porch swing, which is one of my places. I love that porch swing. And yes, there's noise around me, but I'm able to drown out that noise when I'm on that porch swing with a cup of coffee. I don't know why the cup of coffee is important, but it helps. And I'm just there with the Lord. And I can converse with Him. I can pray and have a conversation with Him. It could be a closet. It could be just a janitor's closet at work. Wherever it would be, find a space and a place for you to be with God. Start small. Find a place. In this, when you find a place, you need to inform others about it. You need to let others know, this is my place. And when I'm here, I need you to just let me be. I need to have 10 to 15 minutes to be with God right now. I need to be able to step back and take a deep breath. And so when you're rocking in that rocking chair, and you know that there are people all around you, set those boundaries. Let them know, please be at peace right now, because I need to find peace with God.
Much like Susanna Wesley, the mother of Charles and John Wesley, did, as we talked about during prayer, how in her house with 19 children and her husband in prison, wrongfully in prison, she had her apron. And the children knew as soon as mom threw that apron over her head, she was not to be disturbed. She was not to be bothered because she was in her place with God. Set aside time. Have a place. Respect the place yourself and teach others how it would be very great if they would respect it as well and your need and appreciate your need for that space to be with God. Then be intentional, just like fasting. You have to have a plan. You have to have it, and you have to stick to the plan. You have to be intentional to do this because every fiber of your sinful flesh will be screaming for you to not do this. In the midst of your time of silence, you're going to just be wishing for one note to play, for one person to say one word, because that is what we're used to. That's what we want. We want that in our culture and society. And it takes time to train our bodies, to discipline our bodies, to just be alone in the presence of God. So you have to be intentional. Your ears will itch to be tickled. Your mind will seek to be distracted. So we have to commit. Because without commitment, you will be doomed to give up before you even start. Last week, I talked about having to get up early to go on runs. And how it was so hard for me in college, especially when we practiced 3 times a day. I mean, who just wakes up wanting to run 8 miles? That's what I thought. I don't anymore, but the thing is, like, I didn't even then. It's not something that I just like, oh, I get to run 8 miles at 5 in the morning. Hooray. The same old route again and again every day. And my coach said, Brandon, just get your shoes on. If you could just get your shoes on, the rest will come. You're not going to put your shoes on, tighten those laces the right way, and then be like, okay, time to kick them off and go back to bed. No, you're going to go and do what you planned to do because you've committed at that point. And so just like I asked last week with fasting, what could putting our shoes on look like with silence and solitude? It's different for everybody. Final piece of advice, though. As you are intentional with your daily time of silence, make a plan for times of retreat throughout the year. Half days, whole days, even whole weekends, where you can spend time in solitude and silence reflecting on God's presence and His goodness in your life. Get away somewhere. Go to the mountains. Go to the ocean. We are in no shortage of wonderful places, beautiful places, to just go and to be still and know that He is God. Discover the beauty and truth that is found in David's words in Psalm 23 that we read at the very beginning of our worship time together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And in this, He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And you can do this by remembering all we've already went through, remembering contemplation, how it's key to this, that prayer, it's like you don't just sit there and do nothing, you do something. You do something with God. You converse with God. You dig into His Word. You spend time just thinking about all of His goodness. And if you don't recall any of those messages, the QR code on the back of the Going Deeper sheets will take you to our website, where we keep all of our messages, and you can recap and relearn what it means to do these things so that you can go into that place and be with God. There are simply just wonderful ways that God has given us to do just this. But if you never take that first step, if you never try to do something, you'll never gain anything. I think about what Isaiah's word that God gave him says as we conclude today in chapter 30, verse 15, in the first part where it says, "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and
and trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling. God has promised us a great gift in silence and in rest, finding solitude to be just with him. There's a great promise. But we have to ask the same question that Isaiah challenged the people of Israel with here. Are we willing? Are we willing to take the first step? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever.